Welcome to the Slapdash Song Night podcast, episode 4, recorded on May the 4th. Yes, you heard it. May the 4th, 2014. I'm Kira Daly, your host and friend on the interwebs, and I could not believe my luck when I realised that the first Sunday of the month fell on none other than Star Trek Appreciation Day. Just kidding! May the 4th is, of course, Star Wars Day, based on one of the most enduring puns slash speech impediments, see, demonstrating there, in pop culture history. We had a blast at this show, and I hope you do too. You should know, though, that there were quite a few visual gags that just happened as the result of having a bunch of lightsabers in a room full of nerds. Nonetheless, please enjoy episode 4 of Slapdash Song Night. May the 4th be with you. Before. Yeah. All right, what's our motto?
Sing, sing, talk, talk, drink, drink.
Okay, I will be ready as soon as I reassemble my belt.
Attention, Imperial Stormtroopers. This is Slapdash Song Night. May the 4th be with you. I can feel her presence. Set your phasers to stun for the Rebel Jedi, the droid you've been looking for in Alderaan places. Princess Bagelhead, Kira Daly.
Princess Bagelhead, it's more like Princess Static Kling. All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed. Right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep. And I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say. My superpower's draining fun from parties. If I am a misfit, then I'm in good company with Auden, Austin, Hawking, Galileo, and Van Gogh. Countless other weirdos who you really ought to know. So store your expectations. No, I won't fix your PC. And I don't mind being underrated or ignored. The world is much too interesting to entertain, are we? And I won't ever play it cool. So I won't ever once be bored. Whoa, oh, oh, I have been. Episode 4, May the 4th be with you! The first 3 episodes never happen. Tonight we celebrate many things sci-fi and some things not, but all things musical. Tonight we will be singing, talking, drinking, and ah-ing with my wonderful accompanists, Mark Chamberlain, Katrina Wimbley, Joey Pangolinan, and Peter Led. Island soloists Wyatt Nixon Lloyd, Bryce Halliday, and Blake Erickson. We'll have our regular segments with a twist. Cover Me Skywalker, normally Cover Me Bro, Kira versus Pete's songwriting galactic battle, and a new segment with a surprise guest. And our special guests, the cast of Exclaim Theatre's 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. But first, no song is too arduous for this fine army of rebels. Please welcome Lady Sings It Better!
I have a bit of a problem, Libby.
What?
Because I thought you were bringing me to a movies cabaret night. I prepared for a generic movies cabaret night, and something tells me that this is Star Wars themed.
Yes.
And I wore my movie endings t-shirt.
I mean, I saw like Darth Vader.
They can't sing, but they will ruin the movie ending.
Yeah, well, don't look at her boobs.
Don't, unless you want all the space. But like, look, I feel like because we're serious cabaret artists,
yeah,
I can adapt right here on stage.
Yeah.
So if I brought some props, if we could just adapt my generic movie props.
We'll make it work. Yeah, good.
I really like Happy Feet. So I bought my penguin slippers. But my understanding, I haven't seen all the Star Wars movies, but my understanding is that there's a character called an Ewok, and I thought maybe this could... No? Okay, no, wait, I have more. I have this. I picked it up at Hogwarts.
It's the Elder Wand from Harry Potter.
Like, I love those
movies. You
clearly
know what that is.
It's no?
Not no, Star- no.
She had a wand. I have some lifesavers. Is that that's this
are you,
movie?
Are you saying lifesavers? Like the lollies? No, lifesavers. Like
that's what those are.
Lifesavers. Yeah.
Like, I knew you brought these for a reason.
No, Maeve, that's clearly a bubble. It's like, look, okay, look.
Death Star?
No.
No.
Hayden has brought us some lifesavers.
Yep. So, all right, look, I have this strange phallic object, but but I don't know what the movies are about, so if I'm going to spontaneously burst into a themed song, I'm going to need you to tell me.
All right, well, okay, there's Luke Skywalker, and there's Princess Leia, and there's Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker gets sort of mentored by Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then Obi-Wan Kenobi gets killed by Darth Vader, and so I guess Darth Vader's like the enemy, but then Darth Vader's like, Luke...
Hang on. Because I watched the first half of the first movie.
Right.
I prepared, like... So I kind of... Yeah, I thought it was a bit predictable. I don't know what... Why is that guy in a spacesuit?
Oh my God, sorry, I have to interrupt. A gentleman has just entered as a fully formed stormtrooper. Please give it up. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's
please,
called
sir, take a seat in the front row. Or the second row is probably easier to access for you. Oh no, he's going to choke me with... Oh no.
I think it was for okay. Leia.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Just kidding. There you go.
There we go.
Look, I've never been so happy to be incarcerated.
So yeah, before that guy upstage, just right, in his spacesuit, I was explaining to you that I'd seen the first half of the first movie and I thought it was quite predictable, which is why I gave up. And obviously Luke and Leia are going to get together at the end.
That's disgusting!
Let's sing a song about it.
Always been a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. And Solo's got himself a girl, and I wanna make her mine. Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body. Doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but I can't,
cause she's my sister.
Spoilers.
Watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, and he's holding her by the I'll find a woman like that. That's where I'll find a woman like Han Solo's girl.
Ruby sings the girl.
Libby, Kira.
Okay.
Because if you knew I hadn't seen the Star Wars movies, why the fuck would you bring me to a Star Wars cabaret night?
Well, I just thought it was really good timing considering we have two shows this Thursday night at the Seymour Centre at 7:30
p.m. And there it is. What? Oh, come over to the dark side. Very nice. So, Maeve and Libby.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What end of the spectrum of sci-fi are you on?
Can you tell us what each end is?
I don't know. What's something really hard? What's the most hardcore sci-fi thing you could think of to watch?
I'm gonna... Babylon 5.
Ooh. Babylon 5.
No.
On a scale from Babylon 5 to like the most mainstream sci-fi, which might be
Star Wars.
I think
good example.
I actually genuinely haven't seen all the Star Wars movies.
But I need to clarify that first. By all the Star Wars movies, do you mean the good ones or do you mean
she might not the
shit new ones?
I definitely haven't seen the new ones. I've seen I've literally seen like half of Return of the Jedi and half of The Empire's Perfect. Just half of each.
Okay. No, well, you're very brave for admitting that in this company.
No. I like other sci-fi.
Okay, what other sci-fi? What's your jam?
I like superheroes a lot.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah, I relate to that. Yeah. I like Iron Man.
Libby can
I think
talk.
Iron Man's my fave.
Yeah, I like the X-Men.
My section of the spectrum is probably like I will work or go to Supernova, but I won't cosplay at Supernova. Okay,
so you don't cross the cosplay divide.
That's right.
You've got this on tonight.
Well, that's cosplay.
That's cosplay. We're pointing to one small braid.
Put that shit on a Tumblr.
There you go.
And this is Luke Skywalker's Halloween costume.
We do have a couple of sci-fi related t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yes, we do have a Star Wars Return of the Jedi poster t-shirt. And this looks like a word
it's a
cloud.
Spoiler t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, a spoiler t-shirt. Excellent.
Dumbledore dies.
Oh, yeah, Crispin shoots JR. Wow, that's an old one.
Neo is the one. Yeah, anyway.
Well, since we're in the terrain of sci-fi and superheroes, what is The Lady Sings It Better origin story?
The origin story. Origin story. Once upon a time, there was a teenage lesbian.
No, for reals, that's what happened. I was about 15 and I had a singing teacher and I wanted to sing some song written. I wanted to sing Midnight Hour and I sang it as like a woman singing about another woman, and she gave me this serious talk where she told me how accepting she was, but that other people in the public, once I was a famous pop singer, wouldn't accept me doing this. And then like years passed and I was bored in about 2009 and I'd been going to a lot of cabaret, and I thought, well, I'll put together a cabaret of women singing only men's songs and not changing any of the gender pronouns. So that was about 5 years ago, and we've had a number of different singers and Libby.
Yeah, of course. I joined Lady Sings It Better after a nuclear accident when I was bitten by a radioactive lesbian.
Sorry about that, Libby. Yeah. So she's been with us ever since. So. But yeah.
It's very serious, actually.
What are your superpowers now as a result?
Libby's super...
You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that.
I think Libby's superhero power is bringing as many 90s R&B songs to rehearsals. All of us come up with, like, average choices, and Libby is the best for turning, like, offensive R&B into a barbershop.
give us some examples.
Okay, this is the chorus to a quite famous 90s song. It's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, every man in here wishing. Sipping on Coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, maybe I'm about to have me some fun.
Yeah. That was good. Right. You haven't sung that in like a year. She's very good.
It's my superpower. I'm Aura.
And Maeve, if you had one superpower, what would it be?
No, it's not a funny answer, but it's the truth. So
okay,
I'll tell
no,
it.
Well, that's good. The truth is also
so hilarious so far. No, I really think it would be a really cool skill if you could take photos by blinking and then download.
Is that Google Glass?
From your brain.
Okay, yeah, but I think it's Alec Baldwin on Friends. Alec Baldwin on Friends.
Maybe that's
why
I steal it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that would be really cool. But it's not like funny or cool, but it's the truth. And I think honesty is important in art.
Look, and on that note, please thank Lady Sings It Better. And you can catch all the details at ladysingsitbetter.com. Thank you so much. And thank you, Hayden, accompanist. Wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Next up, please welcome our first Han Soloist. We have possibly our tallest guest next, and hence best candidate for Wookiee. Please welcome the delightful Wyatt Nixon Lloyd!
Hello, everyone!
So excited to be here. It was great to seeing Lady Sing It Better. I'm actually meant to be in a duo, and we were going to have a bit of back and forth. Song, but I don't know how I'll go without him, so I'm not going to do our bit, so I'll do a different song. This isn't a necessarily Star Wars, but it is highly audience interactive, so I'd love you guys to help me along. Would you like that?
Yeah!
Awesome. So it's really simple, call and response thing. I'll sing the first half of every line, you guys finish it off. So, for example, ole, 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 feeling
hot, hot, hot.
Great. But I can't play that song. So it's a bit of a 90s classic thing. It's a brim full of Asher on the
45.
Okay. 40 plus 5 is
45.
Oh, 50 take 5 is
45.
9 times 5 is
45.
The square root of 2025 is
45.
Jesus, you guys are good. You're travelling 5Ks over to school zone. You're driving at
45.
There was a lot of unhappy Nazis in
1945.
That's right. My uncle Lester bought a convertible when he turned
45. Oh,
the number of ladies who are interested.
45.
The average age of the ladies who are interested.
45.
Yeah, okay. Port is wine that has been
45.
Oh, rate this song out of 100.
45.
Oh, so like a low pass. That's pretty good. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Well, thank you, Wyatt. Now, before you run away, I do have a question for you.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool. That almost answers my question. My question was right. Going to be Wookiee or Ewok. Would you rather be Wookiee or Ewok?
And well, Wyatt. I think Ewoks. I just want to stand because I feel.
I'll these stand too then.
Yeah, great. I just kind of feel that.
It's really casual looking.
We must look so relaxed. Yeah.
Wonderwall.
Ever I didn't mean it. Oh, different song. Sorry, I didn't hear it.
Same era though.
I would say Ewok because they get people pick them up. Give them cuddles. And all the tall people in the group, they'll know what I'm talking about. No one picks you up for cuddles anymore, guys. No one carries you in from the car when you're asleep anymore. If I was an Ewok, I would never have to walk anywhere. So Ewok, yes.
I think that's an excellent answer. Yeah. Please thank Wyatt.
Thank you very much.
Is going to take us into the spontaneous zone. Please welcome Bryce Halliday.
And I have no songs that are sci-fi related. Until tonight, I need your help. So, if you were a bounty hunter, if we're all going on a bounty hunting trip together, what is something fairly ordinary and everyday that we might go across the galaxies to hunt?
Tax evaders.
Tax evaders. Okay. I like that. Can I get like two other things to like combine with it somehow? Some more just Tony Abbott?
Yeah. Oh,
you should have been at the first Slapdash. We had a very good musical about Tony Abbott. Hey, I shouted this question earlier. Did all the clones have the same name? Or did they...
Different names.
They have different names.
Designations.
Okay. So, but did they have a name as we know it or a number?
Both.
Oh, great. Okay, well... what should we name our stormtrooper that we have here?
Bob.
Great.
CP50.
Yeah. Oh, Bob CP50. Okay, good.
Named after the Yamaha that's on display.
If you're listening to this, oh boy. There have been a lot of visual gags so far.
I tried to describe everything.
Ooh, here we go.
I haven't mentioned we've got Jabba the Hutt in the corner, though. But it's the CG one from 1997, so it's not so good.
I must admit I've watched a lot more Trek than I have Wars.
Trek?
Is that alright?
Are there Trekkies in the house?
Did I hear a yes? Okay, good.
Okay. Excellent. If you had the choice, what would you pick? Flight or invisibility? It's that age-old question.
It would have to be flight, but it'd be for boring reasons, like to skip traffic.
This is a contentious issue. I can feel it. I'm like, oh, I picked this because...
Oh, have I suddenly split the room?
Oh no, there might be a more. I don't know. Maybe you've deflected the heat from Maeve not having seen the original Star Wars films. Please thank Bryce Halliday.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Please welcome Peter Led, and Katrina Wimberly. This segment is called, normally, Cover Me Bro, but tonight it's called Cover Me Skywalker. I know that's weak. It's weak, I know. The segment is where we cover a song that probably or possibly nobody else has covered before. Normally, and this is your challenge for intervals should you choose to accept it, we get the audience to go downstairs through all the records, since we're in a record store, and find a song with a weird, interesting, or bizarre title and bring that back to the second half and vote on which one we want for Cover Me Bro the next month. Now, I have actually hijacked our Cover Me Bro for this particular sci-fi special. Do we have any Whovians in the house? Not one. One, two, three, four. Four. Four Doctor Who fans. Oh, is that on it?
Yes.
Yeah, get off your high horse, people who've never seen Doctor Who. I've never seen Doctor Who.
No.
Well, why are you booing me? Most of you haven't either. Point is, we have a fan song for you. Our friend Ben McKenzie of the Splendid Chaps podcast got us to cover a Doctor Who fan song by an Adelaide band named Jackson Zoom Dish. We can play you the original. There we go.
I don't know the answer to the secret of creation and what it means, but I'd give it all away for a 20-foot scarf and a pocket full of jelly beans.
I think we've had enough. So that is our song. And we're going to cover that now. We're going to give it slightly different treatment. Oh, so we actually do need you to help us out with our cover. When I sing about jelly beans, I need you to correct me with jelly babies. Okay, so I'll go jelly beans.
Jelly babies!
Whoa, okay. You like correcting people. It's that kind of audience. What a surprise. I'm one to talk. And okay, so that's excellent. That's perfect. Now, the other one I need some help with is when I sing Canine, I need you to go with your biggest Barry White voice. Bow wow. Okay, here we go. Canine.
Bow wow.
Oh, yes. Excellent. Okay, I think we've got everything now. A one, two, three, four. I don't know the answer to the secret of creation and what it means, but I'd give it all away for a 20-foot scarf and a pocket full of jelly beans.
Jelly babies!
A two, three, four. I wanna be Doctor Who. I wanna be Tam Lord too. Jump in my TARDIS and thump up the Daleks and come and pick up you. Chance for you to roam around the galaxy with me till I'm Doctor Who. Wouldn't worry about the Zygon menace and the Cyberman problem, ain't none. Why would I bother with them when I got you? And you, me, and K-9.
Bow wow!
Yeah! I wanna be Doctor Who. Wanna be a Time Lord too. Jump in my TARDIS and thump up the Daleks and come and pick up you. Oh, I'd have enemies for sure, but that wouldn't worry me much, 'cause when I'm Doctor Who, I'll have the magic touch. I jump into time and space, no worries. and have some dimensional fun. And then I'll get ready to come and see you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go! With some weird titles downstairs. Okay, great. So up the back there, sir. What's your one? What one?
Powder did you... My Back.
Powder My Back? By whom?
Gypsy Rosalie.
Yes!
Woo! Gypsy Rosalie. Excellent. Excellent, excellent choice. And further up.
Life is a rock, but the radio rolls me.
Life is a rock, but the radio rolled me. And who's that by?
Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman. Yo, was there another one over there?
It's called Look What I Did to My Ears.
Look What I Did to My Ears.
Id.
Id. As in id, ego, id, super ego. Ah, yeah. Who's that by?
Richard O'Brien.
Richard O'Brien.
As in Rocky Horror.
Oh, it's from, oh. Is it, but it's Shock not from Rocky Horror.
No, it's from
Rocky Horror
Shock Treatment.
Shock Treatment, okay. Id, rock. Or powder, 1, 2, 3.
Powder!
Okay, powder my back, it is. We will cover that in June. Woo. Cover me, bro, thank you very much. And what was your name, sir?
Zach.
Zach, thank you, Zach. Woo. Next we have our intergalactic songwriting war. Woo. Please welcome to the stage, Peter Legg. Yeah. Guitar. Every month, Pete and I challenge each other to write a song on whatever the theme is to the show. Obviously, the theme is May the 4th Be With You, and we've both written science fiction themed songs. Take it away, Peter Lett.
Alright. I please welcome to the stage my partner in musical crime, Black Pepper. Tim D'Souza.
And who are you, Pete?
Sea Salt.
I was just about to say, that doesn't make sense unless you put it in context. Yeah, otherwise, true. It just sounds really racist.
So, for our songwriting challenge. So, we grew up knowing all about the three laws of robotics. Isaac Asimov wrote three fundamental laws that a robot cannot break. And we just kind of always assumed that we were robots.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much it.
You just don't question these things when you're young.
But recently, we discovered that there is another law of robots that we didn't know about. And that kind of changed everything and introduced this element of doubt.
Just this little existential crisis.
This is called the fifth law of robotics. There are laws of robots, probably all read, written by Isaac Asimov before he was dead. The first is that a robot must never cause harm to a human. If you've heard otherwise, ignore that, it's just propaganda and rumors. Second law of robots is you must obey an order given by a human unless it violates the first law. Third is that a robot must protect its own life. Life. Don't talk to me about life. There's another law not written by Isaac. With this law that I'm struggling a lot. I'm not sure.
Break these laws in my positronic brain, my electronic heart. it is a robot. Must know it's just a robot. Must know its place.
Say anything else other than this, that this is an apocalypse song. A 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. Radioactive fallout rains from neon colored skies. How the world was laid to waste may come as a surprise. The nuclear apocalypse was not the outcome meant. The nuclear apocalypse happened quite by accident. The nuclear apocalypse plus zombies was an accident. Way, way underground, the University Sorbonne ran a secret mission to restore a genius long gone. Soon among the citizens of jolly gay Paris, the city of romance would gain one undead Marie Curie. The whole world set to benefit from brains of Marie Curie. Meanwhile, in North Korea, watching WrestleMania at home in Pyongyang, Kim Jong-un called for a juice box when the ring bell rang. The round had ended fast and now Hulk Hogan held his head. Kim Jong-un was bummed he missed it, then the TV said, to see a slow-mo replay, just press the button red. Press red to interact is what the television said. He saw it right in front of him, a button colored red. And then, only the undead survived. Oh, only the undead got out alive. When push came to shove, hell rained from above, but they still thrived. Only the undead survived. With a jetpack, Zombie Curie flew across the land. Radioactivity, a scourge from sea to sand. The barren Earth's remaining life forms were abominations. But Marie Curie sought to end Kim Jong-un's domination. He caused and now oppressed the planet's every zombie nation. Key change. She flew to North Korea where the zombies feared to tread. Kim Jong-un's thick lead-lined compound stood all painted red. The dictator emerged all double-bagged in hazmat suits, carrying a flamethrower he really loved to shoot. But Curie's radiation stun was too fast for the brute. She said, all I've ever seen you do is make a deadly fuss. The only way that we'll survive is if you're one of us. When I take a piece of you, just know it's not for fun. No, no, I do not wish you ill. I only wish you un. No, no, I do not wish you ill. I only wish you un. And now we all live happily, albeit compromised. We may not have a pulse, but still we're intellectualized. I share our tale of triumph before you go to bed. Let's relish our existence as this brand new world's undead. Let's sing along because we're Madame Curie's great undead. 3, 4, only the undead. Survive. intergalactic battle, and in an intergalactic battle, there must be a victor, even though we still have no consequences for this battle. Four rounds in. If you liked Pete's song best, shout Pete. If you like my song best, on the count of three, shout Pete or Kira. One, two, three.
Kira!
I think it's a tie.
Ah, you're very kind. I heard Kira.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Kira Bailey.
Now, we have another Han soloist. Please welcome back Mark Chamberlain. And please welcome to the stage, with a song and a secret, Blake Erickson!
Okay, so like, the secret, it's not the secret. I kind of haven't told anyone this, but I'm kind of really into Star Trek. That's not a gimmick. I really, honestly am. I can spot the difference between a galaxy and a Sovereign class starship from inside the Romulan neutral zone. Like, you don't even have to worry. So, feeling a bit like a single person on Valentine's Day, I thought on Star Wars Day, I might sing what I think is possibly the worst theme song ever written for a television series. It was a short-lived TV show called Enterprise. That featured at the beginning a variation on a Rod Stewart power ballad originally written for the film Patch Adams. All of this sounds fake. The terrifying thing is absolutely none of it is. The show didn't last very long. Maybe you'll see why.
Faith of the heart.
back straight down the store. And no one's gonna bend or break me. I can't reach any star. Cause I've got faith of the faith of the heart.
Shit.
I've got the strength of the soul. No one's gonna bend or break me. I can't reach any star. Cause I've got faith. I've got faith of the heart. It's been a long road.
Visual gag. That yes. thing. Are we meant to high five with it?
No. Why not?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the Romulans do it. Look, don't you think Vulcans are very sexy?
Well, I'm going out of my Vulcan mind right now.
Hey! Oh, wow. Yeah, Vulcans are sexy. Because...
Okay, explain to me what a Vulcan is.
Oh, Spock. Spock is a Vulcan, right?
Oh, okay.
So, pointy ears, pointy eyebrows. Kind of like Adele Delano on RuPaul's Drag Race, if anyone is watching this season.
Oh, my God.
Totally looks like a Vulcan, am I right, girls?
Boys.
No, because they're all about logic, but you know there's like a beating green heart in there and there's so much tension, you know?
Is it blood green as well?
Yeah, like, it is.
Wow.
It is.
That's so weird.
Had to mix it up, you know?
Yeah.
That's a genius of Gene Roddenberry. Give him
yes,
green blood.
Yes, another person
slow
I
clap.
Know.
He invented Star Trek. He's the George Lucas of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm losing you. Sorry, I'm losing everyone.
Not me. Not me, the third.
Hey!
Well, you've got some enthusiasm.
That's great.
In there. Yeah, no, look. Live long and prosper.
Yeah.
No, I know that one.
Yeah, we know that one. But, you know, and like we said this on Facebook today, but I love that May the 4th, this whole day is built around someone having a speech impediment.
That's right. I should have.
That's what Obi-Wan Kenobi was missing, a lisp. That would have been incredible.
Look, when you said you had a big secret, I kind of thought it might be that you'd never seen Star Wars before.
I've seen all of that. I've even seen The Clone Wars, like the TV show.
The cast of the animated series?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was really bad. It was like cutscenes from video games. It was just
So then it's like Phantom Menace.
Yay! Yes, that's so
Phantom
right.
Phantom Menace was like watching a video game for 3 hours or whatever.
But at least Phantom Menace had a real Yoda. Well, because, you know, he was a puppet and then George Lucas
and
went,
then he was
no,
CG'd.
I can improve
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went back.
Is that what his voice sounds like? Is that what George Lucas sounds like?
Yeah, when I... Oh, it's really bad. When I try and do George Lucas, I just close my eyes and mumble. Yeah, I'm just going to make some characters. Just make some characters. He just says the word characters a lot. And then Jar Jar.
Jar Jar!
Oh, please don't. Everyone stop listening now.
No, no. Well, I mean, I have a theory. Because the Star Wars franchise has been taken over by Disney now.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So the new ones coming up will be Disney movies. And I do have a theory that Jar Jar was actually a Disney mole.
Really? How
yeah,
so?
Yeah, he was sent in to infiltrate. And take over from the inside. Because, you know, Jar Jar is sort of akin to a comic llama sidekick. Mm.
Or a pox. Or a plague. Yeah, he's like cancer. He's really... That's what he was.
Jar Jar is like cancer.
He really
Blake
is.
Blake Erickson. And on that happy note, please thank Blake Erickson.
Thanks, everyone.
Our next guest, this is our surprise guest. Woo! I don't see him anywhere, actually. It's really weird. Okay, so someone pointed that the surprise guest is here. Oh, shit. Okay. Our next guest is a true star of sci-fi. You may or may not recognize him from movies such as Point Break, Speed, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Please welcome Slapdash Keanu!
Most righteous audience, dude. Yeah, most righteous welcome. Thank you.
So, Keanu, thank you so much for being here. This is amazing. I'm a little bit starstruck.
I really like your show.
You've listened to the one episode that's been posted online, or have you been here all along and we just haven't recognized you?
No, I listened to it on my headphones.
Okay.
Yeah, they're with cams. They call them cams.
Okay, sure. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
And no, what I really like about your show is the motto.
What's our motto?
Sing, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink.
All right, because, you know, I sing when I am merry, and I drink when I am thirsty, and I talk when I am talky.
Shakespeare, that's amazing. Much Ado About Nothing. Yes, I remember your performance in that. So, I understand you're actually right. You're okay there? Yeah, so
I'm
got a bit of your natural flowing hair in your mouth then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay.
So I understand you're writing a show, Keanu.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I am. And you heard of a jukebox musical, right?
We've all heard of jukebox musical.
Yeah, you take some songs and you write a little story around them. Right? So I'm writing a jukebox play.
A jukebox play?
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Well, you take songs and you turn them into speech.
Okay, you take lyrics and make them
lyrics.
Okay,
yeah.
sure. So you've got a little excerpt now that's sort of in theme, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Do you want to hear a little excerpt from Keanu's jukebox play? All right, here we go.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm going to be high as a kite by then. I miss the Earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man that they think I am at home. Ah, oh, nay, nay, nay. I'm Rocket Man. Rocket Man. Burning out his fuse up here alone.
Keanu! So Keanu, you're a Star Wars fan.
Oh yeah, most righteous.
So what's your favorite quote? Like, what's your favorite movie? So like, Luke, I am your father.
Any butt-reaming asshole can be a father.
Is that Shakespeare again?
I don't know.
So you've been in a lot of sci-fi films. You were in the Matrix film.
Yeah, I was in all of them.
There's more than... So I think you've got a dialogue?
Yeah, yeah, totally. I need your help for this one.
Oh, okay.
Can you read? Oh, no, I'm not being rude. I just don't like to assume people have the same privileges that I do.
That's very kind of you, Keanu. I can read.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so you're a babe, and we're in a relationship. Based on intense emotional circumstances. But we've been fighting a lot, and you know, you're not sure if this relationship is gonna work. So what do you do? What do you do?
It's not gonna work, Johnny. You spend all your time up there in space playing with space toys, and I'm down here in Utah saving lives. We're just too different.
I don't know what you mean by different.
Well, you say either, and I say either. You say neither, and I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's just call the whole thing off.
You like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato. Potato. Potato. Tomato. Tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
You say either and I say either.
Whoa, deja vu.
I say spoon and you say...
There is no spoon.
Please thank Slapdash Keanu.
Thank you.
This has been...
conversation. Oh, it's funny to me. Our final act is a group of delightful and talented young Padawans with one of the nerdiest shows ever written for musical theatre. And if it seems like there are too many of them, just blame the CGI from 1997. Please welcome to the stage the cast of Exclaim Theatre's 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee!
I think highly unrealistic, wildly fanciful.
That is correct.
I love you.
And tell us about your characters.
So I'm Emma Cooper-Thwaite, and I'm playing Olive Ostrovsky. And she is this beautiful little lovely character, very shy, and is basically trying to find a friend at the spelling bee.
My name's Tim Dalcativo, and I'm playing Chip Tolentino. And he actually...
I know, right? You've got a rhyme, yeah.
Bloody wogs. I'm allowed to say that because I'm half, so it's fine. And so Chip won last year, and the poor thing is going through adolescence at the moment, so he gets a lot of erections, and it throws his performance, and you never know where it's going to end, so I don't want to give too much away.
And neither does he.
I am Holly Summers Clark, and I am playing Rona Lisa Peretti, and Rona is the teacher at the Spelling Bee. She's very fond of the spelling bee. She was a competitor and winner herself. I think she's on a bit of a journey into herself through this spelling bee. And she finds a new part of herself too, I think. She does.
Deep.
But, I mean, that's a great thing about this show, that it is simultaneously hilarious and ridiculous, and also every character in it goes from A to B. They actually do all have an arc. It's kind of a wonderful thing. And you guys are part... Is this the inaugural production for Exclaimed Theatre as well? Is this the first?
The first.
First,
yes.
Yeah. What was the reason behind this particular show? I mean, aside from that, it's awesome. Why did you guys...
I think Aaron was pretty passionate.
Oh, yeah. Well, Aaron
about
on keys here.
I've joined the podcast. Hello, everyone. Thanks to all the listeners. In Cleveland, Ohio, I'll send this out to Make It International.
Woo!
I kind of chose the show for a number of reasons. Basically, Exclaimed Theatre is a new company made up of AIM, or the Australian Institute of Music's music theatre graduates. And knowing this graduate group, we're all quite funny, I think. So I thought maybe show that off a little bit. So I chose a comedy. And we're doing it in a new theatre that AIM has just acquired, called the Australia Hall. That's not really a theatre, but more of a hall.
That's the Australian way, isn't it?
Yeah. So we thought we'd just embrace that instead of sort of making a theater out of not a theater, we'd just make it a school hall and do a spelling bee. Can I go on a tangent for a second?
Can you go on what?
A tangent.
A tangent? Of course.
I was thinking when I was sitting... Sorry, I'm going to get my phone out because it's relevant. I swear.
Look, I was sitting there. 15 years ago, that phone would have been science fiction.
Agreed. I was sitting there because we're not really doing anything sci-fi, so I'm like, I gotta come up with something.
I was gonna bring it around to that, just FYI. But.
Because anyone that knows me knows what my message tone is on my phone.
Oh, yes. Let's hear this.
So, where is the tones again?
Setting sounds.
Someone send him a text.
Sounds. Yes, okay. Are you ready? Should I put it up to the microphone? Yes.
Yeah. Do it.
Jar Jar.
Oh. I like Jar Jar.
Wow, this is an evening of revelation.
Do you know why I like Jar Jar? Because he makes me feel smarter. But I feel Star Wars is really great, but like everyone in Star Wars is also wise and stuff, and I'm not as wise as them, but I'm wiser than Jar Jar. So every time I get a text, it reminds me of my intelligence.
Who gave him the microphone?
And where do you guys lie on the sci-fi spectrum? Anywhere at all, or not for you?
I think the only real sci-fi film that I really loved, and I could be wrong, it might not be sci-fi, but it was Brave New World. Aldous Huxley. Yeah, I like that film.
I like to think I dabble in sci-fi.
Yeah, see, I relate to that.
Like, I've seen all the Star Wars. I liked all them. But my sci-fi dabbling is mainly the sci-fi horror films.
Okay, like Alien.
Love all of them.
Get away from her, you bitch. Awesome. Love it. I'm
Avatar.
Emma, how about you? Avatar.
No. Is that sci-fi? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it just Fern Gully with more CG?
Fern Gully.
Fern Gully.
No, I don't mind Star Wars. I'll watch it. Yeah.
I would love you to be the film critic quoted on the poster there.
I don't mind it.
Oh, I don't mind it. I'll watch it. Pippethwaite. Amazing. So you guys have got another song for us and I think a cast of thousands.
Yes. A little bit more uplifting.
Oh yeah, gonna bring it up. Bring it up. Please welcome the rest of the cast or lots of the rest of the cast. Facebook.com/ExclaimTheatreCompany. All right. Well, what an evening we've had. The fourth has been with us. Or rather, the fourth have been with us. Please thank Lady Sings It Better, Wyatt Nixon Lloyd, Bryce Halliday, Blake Erickson, Putnam Spelling Bee, Katrina Wimbley, Joe Pangolinan, Tim D'Souza, Peter Laird, and Mark Chamberlain. Those two gentlemen. Please welcome to the stage Joe Pangolinan and Mark Chamberlain, and also my slapdash backup singers.
Completely unrehearsed.
Give them a round of applause. I have roped them in. To Tim, Shannon, and Tim. All of you are going to get up on your feet. Yeah. Up on your feet. And we're going to have a sing along. Hopefully some of you know this song. Yes, who has seen the film? Shaun of the Dead. Yes. Well, there is a song in that movie that was changed forever by the scene that it accompanied. We're gonna bash some zombies to this song. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
More about the acts featured at Slapdash Song Night, please visit ladynerd.com.au. Spoiler alert, that's me, Kira Daly, Lady Nerd. Surprise! See you next month.